Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Humaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And I'd like to say that one of the reasons for Pneumaticos Radio is to enable others to have hope. Within the scriptures, hope is defined as confident expectation toward the future. And indeed, we live in a time in which hope is very important. And so this morning, I'd like to direct your attention once again to the scriptures, and we will be looking briefly again in Genesis 39, and then we will go on to Genesis chapter 40. We are discussing the life of Joseph. And this morning's topic is the redemptive presence of God in traumatic wounds. Now, we have been studying the fact that Joseph suffered in his home at the hands of siblings who, because of their envy, stripped him of his richly ornamented coat given to him by his father and tossed him down a well and sold him to traders headed for Egypt. In Egypt, Joseph became the servant of Potiphar, and Potiphar noticed something distinctively different about Joseph. That is, Potiphar noticed that God was with this young man in a very special way, and so Potiphar set him over his entire household. We read also in Genesis 39 that God gave Joseph great success in his role as head of Potiphar's household. Verse 5 of chapter 39 reads, "From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph," or because of another. This is called the principle of blessing by association. There is in Joseph's life, in a very poignant manner, the presence of God. And one would think that because of the sibling abuse that he had suffered, the very traumatic sibling abuse that he had suffered, and what happened to him, how he was placed in iron, according to Psalm 105, beginning with verse 17. How he was placed in iron, he was shackled as he went to Egypt. But then we are told something remarkable also in Psalm 105 that his soul came into iron. And so I want it to be very clear that here is a picture of resilience. Resilience, again, has been defined as the ability to recover quickly from difficulties. And it also means toughness. And so Joseph's soul came into iron. That is, he learned to be tough, but not bitter. And we see that anger due to what had happened to him and bitterness did not limit the soul. That is, Joseph knew that God was with him. And so Joseph experienced the redemptive presence of God in his trauma. And Joseph gave his trauma to God, which meant that his life would not be preoccupied with what happened to him. And so we want to show or to demonstrate from the scripture that Joseph understood that God was prospering him because he gave his life to God. So we also read something else that is notable in Genesis chapter 39, in that at the end of verse 6, we're told, "Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, 'Come to bed with me.'" And in Hebrew, this was just a simple active, or what is called the cal active voice, the simple active. But he refused. He is a man of principle. And he is a man who understood that God was prospering him. And in no way did he want to compromise what God was doing in his life. Joseph, with his commitment to God, will most certainly experience the blessings of God. But oftentimes, the blessings of God are accompanied by conflict. And Joseph was not one who played with sin. He understood that sin was a deadly viper. On the contrary, he was one who had completely devoted his life to God. But nevertheless, conflict did come into his life. And once again, Joseph was not an individual given to self-induced misery, that is, one who toys with sin with the inevitable results of the sin appearing in his life. So Joseph did not involve himself with self-induced misery, but he did experience in his life other induced misery. That is, misery introduced into his life from an outside source. And the outside source here is Potiphar's wife, who is going to sexually harass the young Joseph. to the point where he will be summarily dismissed and removed from Potiphar's home. So let's take a look. Let's take a look at the intensity of this temptation. Verse 8, but he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. There is sexual harassment of a very intense kind. Here is enormous pressure because of his position in Pharaoh's home and because of his relationship with God and who he is within himself. Joseph does not want to give in to this temptation. Now, God allowed this pressure to come into his life so that Joseph could see and understand that his life was entirely dependent upon God's care, and his entire life was within the hands of God. Joseph will find himself seemingly caught in compromise. Pharaoh's wife will hold on to his cloak, and when her master returns home, that is, when Potiphar returns home with this, holding on to this seeming evidence in her hand, she will lie about Joseph in order to protect herself, in order to exact revenge upon him. We go on. Verse 13, chapter 39 of Genesis. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. Notice the inclusive language. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. Notice the language. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story, that Hebrew slave, the language of the personalization, that Hebrew slave you brought to us. Notice the plural language again, plural pronoun, came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. Joseph has been placed in straits due not to something that he has done that would overtake him in his life at this point, but something has come into his life due to another. And so he is placed in the roundhouse, which is the literal Hebrew. When Joseph was stripped by his brother, he was placed in a well. Here, after this abuse, he is placed in prison or in the roundhouse. And so we have, again, the reintroduction of the well motif. The cloak that Joseph's father gave him was tattered and torn and covered with blood in order to, and then presented before his father as evidence that he had been torn apart by a wild animal. Again, in this chapter, we have Joseph's cloak being held onto by an individual who has accused him of a terrible crime. And so we have reintroduced to us, again, the cloak motif. And these two, the well motifs, the well and the cloak, follow him. Joseph's abuses are intense. But we see that in his original abuse and what happened to him, iron came into his soul. God's presence was with him in the midst of his suffering, and God caused him to come mightily. That is, God granted him success. Here is resilience for the believing one, in that God sees and God enabled him not to transcend what had happened to him in his life, but God uses the wrath of man to praise him. And so God redeemed the wounds of Joseph. And now this other event has come into Joseph's life with or upon the word of accusation of criminal action. Joseph is sent to the roundhouse. And an interesting event occurs because God is still moving in Joseph's life in the midst of his trials. Let's go on. Verse 21 of chapter 39. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. This is very interesting for us to understand, because we see something very remarkable going on in Joseph's very intense spiritual life. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, we read, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Joseph's life is a life of faith. Joseph has chosen to not walk by sight, but to walk by faith. He has chosen to walk in dependence upon God. God never said to Joseph that he would not experience conflict. God promised Joseph to be with him in the midst of the conflict. Joseph has understood that God has shown himself faithful in his life up to this point. And Joseph will continue to trust God through this challenge of faith. He is in the roundhouse. But notice, God prospers him there. Joseph has refused to place upon his experiences, both that which he suffered at the hands of siblings and now at the word of Potiphar's wife. He has refused to place upon those traumatic experiences an interpretation which would harm his life. It is what we recognize and what we look at that determines our interpretation. And so, Joseph is not going to allow a highly subjective interpretation of his experiences to color his life in such a way as to paralyze his will and prejudice his will against him. He will follow God. Joseph understood that he leads me in the paths of righteousness. His life has been given to God. Resilience in the Bible is based upon faith in God. Spiritual toughness in the Word of God is based upon faith. That is a reliance upon and trust on who God is. It is built upon the consistency of the character of God, on the consistency of the divine essence. Joseph understood that he is not his own, and that God's purpose in his life is sovereign over his will. It is very interesting that in Genesis chapter 39, verse 1, we read, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard." We read in verse 21, "The Lord was with him. He showed kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden." So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. Once again, Potiphar is the warden of the prison. It would seem that Potiphar did not believe the story given to him by his wife. And so he understood that she sought to slander Joseph. She believed that she had compelling evidence against Joseph. We find ourselves at times in spiritual straits, and it seems as if there is compelling evidence against us. And yet God does not take us out of those situations, but he allows us to walk through. And the suffering that those who stood against us intended for us to experience, God takes that wrath and uses it to praise him. Have you suffered traumatic or a traumatic experience that has shaped your life in a certain way, and do you feel anger and bitterness over the experience? Let me say this morning that God can redeem those experiences. God can get you unstuck from the past. God can grant you release, and you can go to him and confess what is wrong with you so that you can be free. Allow God this day to redeem that trauma that has held you bound. Confess to him your need of him. Tell him that this trauma has created an emotional trauma for you, and that you want the experience, that you want the salvation that only he can give. God has come to heal the shattered in heart. I don't know what your experience has been, but I have worked for many years with persons who were sexually abused as children. And so I have some knowledge of the reality that God can heal the shattered in heart. And I've seen him do marvelous works. Talk to him today. Allow God to change your life and give you a new way. I'm your host this morning, Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak to you next time. Have a great day.